Now, this is...
This is T.I.
Put my dick in your face. Put my gun in your purse. Put my work in your pussy.
Now, someone's saying right now, how come he has the right, how come Lil Wayne has the right to say all this stuff?
Right. Hey, well, that's a good question. Why does this man have the right to say, Jesus Christ, did you hear some of the stuff?
Still, that is a very good point.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because he is working for himself, because he's not working for anybody that gives a shit, if you'll pardon the expression. He's working for people who, this kind of hip-hop, this kind of lyrical, you know, presentation is not going to piss off or hurt the business model of the people that he is associated with, and so therefore they make the calculated decision, this is not only something, I'm not going to fire this cat for this shit, I am actually going to reward him. Because in the world that we operate, the business world that we operate in, that kind of candor is most assuredly desired. Good morning, I'm Phil Hendry.
Yay! All right, Phil. That was very pretty. Now, here is what I want to say.
I'm not trying to be pretty.
No, here's what I want to say. Anthony Cumia of Opie and Anthony, for those of you that don't know, Anthony, you should tell people what happened, Phil.
Anthony Cumia, who is a broadcaster in our business, broadcast, podcast, what the fuck is the difference, if you'll pardon the expression? I'm feeling very unfiltered and rant-like here this morning. He got fired for a racial tirade on Twitter.
Now, what was this racial tirade concerning?
It was concerning him taking pictures in Times Square, I believe. An African-American woman, a black woman, got into the frame. She apparently verbally and maybe in other ways assaulted him, didn't like it. He, you know, what have you, you know, got into it with her. Then he went home, got on Twitter, and started talking about savages, and it's a war, and we're losing. I guess he figures that he's talking to other white people or whoever that feel the way he feels, and so on and so forth. Here are some of the comments.
But this is Anthony of the Anthony Opie show.
Yeah, man, you know they are, don't you?
No, I don't listen to them.
Opie and Anthony, you don't listen to them?
No, I don't listen to them. I live in California, not New York.
That's a New York show. It's on Sirius XM.
I don't listen to that.
Well, man, I'll tell you, that Anthony Cumia, man, you probably like him as I'm talking about black people and everything.
I'm not talking about no black people today.
All right, hold on, will you? So, don't start something, Robert, where something hasn't been started, okay?
Well, I'm just saying.
Robert, that's a good point. You know, just leave a sleeping guy alone. You know the old saying? Let a sleeping guy sleep.
Well,
let sleeping dogs lie.
Well, I thought it started in the gay community.
What started in the gay community?
Let a sleeping guy.
No, it didn't. Let a sleeping dog lie. So, Anthony Cumia went on Twitter. And he went on a, as they call it, a racist tirade concerning this experience that he had with this black woman. Among the things that were said by Mr. Cumia was the following. Sirius decided to cave and fire me. Welcome to Bizarro World. Okay, that was after he got canned. He said before he got canned, where was the racist tirade, man? Opie and Anthony host lashes out with racist tweets after alleged Times Square assault. There was stuff in there about how you know, the cat was, they're savages, they're animals.
Now, did he use the N-word?
I don't know if he used the N-word. He called her an animal, called her a savage. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, if you didn't use the N-word, what did you get fired for?
Hold on. It doesn't make any difference, man. According to Cumia, the woman was in the frame of one of his shots, and when she discovered this, she immediately reacted to him, punching him in the face. He proceeded to call her an animal bitch and a savage, referring to her as it, and stating that they aren't people. He described the race solution and situation in America as a battle, adding that we are losing. Now, these are the comments that he made on Twitter. It's really open season. Excuse me. It's really open season on white people in this day and age. Yada, 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 yada. By the time a lot of people hear this podcast, even if they're listening to the podcast live right now, they're going to know you know, what happened.
Now, let me ask you something, because Bud May, this guy's on, what is he on?
He's on Sirius XM.
Yes, General, it is a satellite, it's a satellite network.
You're sounding kind of rough in the voice here this morning, Margaret.
Well, I am. I told you I'm coming down with a cold.
Yeah, you're sounding kind of...
You know what I'm not coming down with? I'm not coming down with weak right arm.
Ow!
Oh.
All right. You say you have a cold. You need to go and get a drink of water or something?
I'm fine, Phil.
All right. Because I haven't had my coffee this morning. I haven't had shit this morning. I haven't had Jack Diddley Squat this morning because I got out of bed and we got things rolling here and I was reading about Opie and Anthony and we did the pre-show. By the way, a congratulations to John in L.A. who qualified. He's qualifier number two for a shot at a VIP package on the 30th of July to see our live show there at the Hollywood Improv. So this cat goes on about some bullshit. I don't know what he was talking about, man, but he was, let me see. There's a deep seated problem with violence in the black community. Try to address it and you'll be exiled to Racistville. Well, no, not addressing violence in the black community, man. It's addressing violence in the black community based upon your belief that black people are just violent and you're some really cool white guy who doesn't get violent. You know, the racist white people are the most amazing people in the world. They are engaging in the same type of, if I may use the word, idiocracy that stupid, violent black people may engage in, which is, you know, be dumb first and then think about it later. All right. In another post, Kumia said, or we mentioned that one, no discussion, just violence. When will that be addressed? Oh, right, never. Slavery did it? Oh, okay. This is a guy, folks, that I haven't read one fucking thing from this moron yet that makes any sense. That's got anything to do with fucking anything intelligent. If you agree with this guy, I can categorically tell you, you're a fucking idiot. That's just my opinion. But every question this motherfucker is asking in his Twitter rant has been asked already, has been answered already, has been addressed already, continues to be discussed, and is gradually, slowly but surely, coming into kind of a basic relief. What is the situation in America? Why is there an underclass? What exactly is the story here? If it's got nothing to do with biology, which it doesn't have anything to do with, that is the quack science of the early 20th and the late 19th, well, actually, just anything before the early 20th century, the whole, you know racial inferiority and superiority idea complex. That's bullshit, you know.
Phil, do you need us today? Because
yes, I was going to say, Phil, you're doing very well by yourself.
All right, I'm sorry. You're right. I had to start this whole freaking show over again, man. To be honest with you.
Why?
I don't know. Because this whole thing just threw me off. It's a topic that is I feel strongly about, and yet when I feel strongly about.
When you feel strongly about something, Phil, you go off on these big long speeches, and I don't think it does this program any good. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Yeah, and that's your little speech.
That, oh my God.
Mr. Henry, all she did was make a statement, and then I go, yay.
Yeah, she makes the statement, and then you go, yay.
Bud is helping me lock out a statement, which is, you...
I already understand your statement. I am doing a speech, but you make a statement. Excuse me.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to give a speech here about the whole racial divide in America? Everyone understands it. The whole thing is a cluster bang. You know, what are you going
to
do?
Well, I'll tell you this. Let me give it to you this way, okay? You know, there are people in this world that have jobs, and there are people in this world that don't have jobs. And the people that have jobs seem to think, maybe some of them, I don't know, seem to think that those jobs will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah, what do you want, bud?
I got Mr. Hall. I don't know. Yeah, Mr. Hall?
Yeah. And Phil?
Yeah?
Well, what are you... You know, Margaret said it to you, and the general and everybody, and you're going into a speech. I don't understand.
I'm doing my show.
No. I know that, but you're going, hey, you know, another thing, and a diddly diddly dee. You know, I'm wondering if, Crosstown Bus, Crosstown? That's the number three? I don't know, man. I'm waiting for a bus to get into the office.
What happened to your car?
What happened to my car? I don't know. I got out this morning. I tried to start it, and my wife said,
it wasn't, I don't know what she did, but I did, I it's a whole issue with that being everything that she's eating.
Is she? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, just forget it, okay? But she eats so much that she leaves wrappers and they get sucked into the intake. Yo! Fuck.
You're waiting for, is that a bus?
No, that's the, that was a Metro Rail. What time's it come? All right, I'm just waiting for it. But what I'm saying to you, Phil, I've been listening here to the podcast on my smartphone, which, by the way, folks, you can listen to the podcast on a smartphone. All you have to do is have a smartphone, which I'm assuming people have, and then you go to TuneIn or you go to Listen Live at Phil Hendry website.
Exactly.
All right. What was I talking about?
You called in to start talking to me about giving speeches.
You're giving a speech.
You know, David, that's exactly right. We talked to him this morning about this. We said, don't get too crazy.
I'm not getting crazy. I'm just addressing something I feel strongly about.
All right, you feel strongly about it. But what are you going to do? Spend a whole day talking about some guy that got canned in radio? Yo, number three, going my way? Jesus Christ. Hey.
You got to get the map in.
What?
That ain't it.
What do you mean, that ain't it? Well, you know the bus I'm on?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I understand the man you are.
Get out of this, Phil. I'm sitting there waiting for a bus. What's your name?
Charlie.
And you understand the man I am?
Yes, I do.
And so you think you know, where am I going this morning?
You're going to South Pasadena. That's where the office is. I just noticed the cut of your slacks, your suit. You look good.
Yeah. So, thank you very much.
Well, that was a nice thing for him to say.
Oh, you think so?
Well, what does the guy say? He said your slacks look good?
Yeah, that's the part that I didn't like.
David, just take the compliment. Everywhere in this world today, we're looking for a fight. Just like this guy, looking for a fight. Look at a turn, an incident in Times Square where some stupid bitch was giving him a hard time. Some woman this, that, something else. He gets his fucking feelings, excuse my French, but he gets his feelings hurt and he loses his job and it's a front page article. Are you ready for this?
Look at Phil. Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, looking good, man. Number three, Metro Rail. Come on, slow down, stop, will you?
Are you sure you're at a train platform?
Are we at a train platform or are we?
Not a cab stand.
It's what? It's a cab stand, God damn it. All right, hold on. I got to walk down here to the platform.
Yeah, you do that, man, and we'll talk to you later.
Hey, wait a minute, man. I got more to...
Well...
Yeah, no. So, thanks for putting that through, bud.
What do you want me to do about it? You can't do anything about it, so they call in.
No, I understand that. So anyway, like I was saying in the pre-show, you know, look, I'll wrap the whole thing up if you want, but...
No, you don't have to wrap the whole thing up, but just don't go into these long-winded speeches. It makes it sound like you're doing the you know what it sounds like? You're doing the preacher Billy. Who's this fruit that we're looking at?
Joseph Prince?
The fruit, is that the fruit?
I wouldn't say he's a fruit. Why do you call him that?
He's prancing around up there. Don't go into a big, long speech. Who are these guys with the cardboard hats?
Those are Catholic bishops.
I'm sorry. I apologize. So anyway, what I was going to say is, you go into these speeches, and the next thing you know, you've got people who are crawling right up your rear end.
I understand. Here, I just want to say one thing. Donald fucking Sterling just lost his job. What's wrong?
I don't think the language...
I'm speaking in the way that my audience can sometimes understand, and we are speaking in a rather unrestricted way because we are on...
Yeah, you just talked about Opie and Anthony.
I'm talking about Anthony Cumia, who said racially charged, offensive things about an individual based on... I'm just talking about how messed up the whole thing is, man. You can't really say that's a racist rant. Hell, I might be speaking truth. You got a job... You're going to lose your job if you bring disfavor upon the company or the business that you're associated with. The most recent was this guy, Donald Sterling. Now we're going to see more articles, and they're all going to have to do with what happened to free speech. Are you kidding me or something? What happened to free speech? 30 years ago, Earl Butz lost his job as the Secretary of Agriculture because he cracked some racist joke on an airplane with a reporter who had his tape recorder on. Nobody at that time. Nobody. And this was during the days of Ronald Reagan. Nobody said boo. Nobody cried. Nobody complained. Nobody sniveled. He said, you know what? You're a dumbass. Get your ass out of here. Even Reagan probably said it. Reagan didn't react with anything other than you're fired. And he probably told him, he says, you can't talk like that, man. It's an unfortunate thing, you know, blah, blah. They're probably good old boys. Who knows what they said? But you can't talk like that. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more in this admittedly short. It's 4th of July, too, for God's sake. Why do we got to...
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's the 4th of July, and you're taking it up with this gobbledygook.
I always look for Don Rickles. I look for Don Rickles' photographs on the 4th of July. There's always a picture of him with his bulldog and all that bunting, all that red, white, and blue bunting.
Be no so insensitive. She asking why you say that. I'm chilling. Real nickel.
And I believe this is Childish Gambino. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I have a little bit of a cold this morning.
What? Want me to get you something to gargle with?
You dirty.
Hey.
No, but you know what he means by that.
Oh, I don't know what he means by that. What did you mean, bud?
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, you got some silverware, but really, are you eating though? Are you eating though? Nigga, are you eating though?
Breakfast. This is General Galen Shaw reminding you today is the 4th of July, and take advantage of those great sales at Sarah's 4th of July flag store. She's got lots of flags. She's sold out of American flags, but wonderful Japanese, Chinese, Russian flags. And think about it. Think of how original you'll look walking down the street with a Brazilian flag on the 4th of July. No? All right. How about a communist flag? I don't know. Fuck it.
Sarah's flags. You can give it a try. No American flags left on this day, the 4th of July, but plenty of flags left. World famous Phil Henry Show, and that is Childish Gambino with Sweatpants. Yeah. Well, what a day, huh? I mean, what a way for the day to start, in any event. We have Professor Clayton. Emory Clayton is going to join us from L.A. Canyon College in North L.A. County. And Professor Clayton, let's just talk a little bit here about this. This is a, you know, a highly explosive situation.
Yeah, I would say it's a highly explosive situation. I would say, Phil, that this is a situation that I'm very, very happy SiriusXM solved the problem before it got to be more of a problem. We can't sit around and wait, you know.
What do you think is the solution, though, to this situation where it's not just that the man said what he said, it's that he did it openly. He fomented he fomented, I think, ill will. He was not responsible in the least. And my understanding, this man, Anthony Cumia, is very unfiltered, Bud, is that right?
Well, that's what I've been reading on a lot of the message boards, but like I say, I don't really follow it.
Yeah, we don't listen to him out here, but, I mean, it is on SiriusXM.
Now, what is this SiriusXM again?
I want to say something, Phil.
Yeah, hold on. SiriusXM...
Yeah, but you've had a chance to tell everybody there what SiriusXM is. No one cares what SiriusXM is. It's a network, General, you know?
All right, well, it's a network. Fine. So is it online?
Is it online, Phil? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, then let me answer it for you. It is satellite radio. We have all kinds of AM radio. We have all kinds of FM radio. We have police radio. We have ham radio. We have the internet. We have Wi-Fi. We have wireless communication now. And, of course, we've always had wireless communication, but Wi-Fi as it pertains to the internet. Now... we also have satellite radio, not just satellites that transmit television signals. We have satellites that transmit radio signals. And this, then, is Sirius XM.
All right, Phil, don't, you know, you're talking like you're holding Marilyn Hickey's hat, standing there with this, then, you know.
Sometimes you get a little bit.
Okay, sometimes I get a little bit. So anyway, Professor, continue.
I would say that this man, Anthony Cumia, it had been fired. This is the right move at the right time by the right people in the right circumstance, in the right city, and he's the right man. So I don't think they got anything wrong. They got it all right. I don't think there's anything wrong with what happened in the aftermath of this Cumia opening his mouth. And you notice I haven't heard anybody talk about his ethnicity. Nobody talking about him being Italian. Nobody talking about him...
You know, that's very interesting that you bring that up. Him being Italian, which of course is in and of itself drawn ire from people because of the perceived connection to organized crime.
Well, that's the point exactly. And so what has happened in the Italian community, they get hypersensitive to that. And they turn around, they say, well, we might have... You know, we might have the mafia. Look at the jigaboo over here.
Now, whoa. Let's not go with the jigaboo thing, okay?
Yeah, but that's what they're talking about, you know, Phil. That's what they're talking about. They say, look, we may have the mafia, But take a look at that stove lid down the street.
Whoa. You know, you can't say that, all right? We're trying to clean this show up. We had Dickman, Professor Clayton, and we had Dickman with his big fat mouth.
What I do?
You were starting in with a smokes this and, you know.
You were, remember when you were, we're still trying to break you of your racism.
Yeah, man, you want me to remind you? Just a couple of comments here and there. That's all.
Look, Dickman, I'm very, very familiar with your case, all right? I've got a filing cabinet, and I've got about 5, 6, 7 folders with all of them filled with incidents involving you. So don't give me your horse dung about how just a few things.
Well, what do you mean incidents? What do you have these folders for?
Because I just keep... What do you mean? Who are you asking me questions? I keep track of these things, all right? I keep track of these things as a professor of urban studies. I've got case file after case file. I've got case study after case study. I've even got one on you, Henry, about how you always sometimes walk out of that studio. Someone tell me you walk out of that studio and you do a little bit of a dance jig or some kind of a Irish jig. And one senator said, well, he does a jig. You are, and I want to bring this up, do you do a jig because you can't say jig? Or?
No, I don't do a jig because I can't say. I sometimes walk out of the studio and do a little bit of a dance as a good luck thing.
Yes, but it's a very decided Irish jig, Phil.
So what?
Well, we just want to know, is that you going, hey, look at all the jigs, you know?
Like in the jigaboo, see?
Boy, you guys are really mental, you know that?
Why am I mental, man? You just had this guy, Kumia, on Twitter talking about all kinds of things. How does that make me mental?
You ought to look for where the real problem is, not me doing an Irish jig, and then you keeping a foot.
I've got, you go ahead and laugh, but I've got a filing, I've got your own filing cabinet filled with your name on it, and different incidents involving you and racially charged episode.
Give me another one.
All right, I'll give you another one. Did you mention Chico Jr.? You know what a Chico Jr. is?
That's what we used to call those pointed boots that the kids from the Hispanic part of town wore.
Yeah. What's that about?
Jesus, Henry.
What's what about?
Them pointed boots. You said, look at them Chico Jr., man. Now, you think they got what? They got to kill cockroaches with those? You know, that's what everybody said. Are you talking about not just cockroaches, but you're talking about like a young man wear Chico Jr. because he's a flamenco dancer, some kind of nonsense like that.
No, I know, Phil, and I don't think... the Chico Jr. is just a funny way of looking at those shoes.
Excuse me, Margaret. I know that you want to defend Phil, but that's not going to happen, not with Emory Clayton.
I know that it's just simply him referring to those kinds of boots.
Look, these pointed toe boots are shoes... I don't even think they're worn anymore. They looked to me like they were a cross between a Beetle boot, which was what we used to call the boots that the Beatles wore, and I don't know what else, you know?
Well, but like a cowboy boot or a roach killer?
I don't know what a roach killer is, man. All I know is that that's what we used to call them, Chico Juniors, because they seem to be prevalent in the Hispanic community.
All right, so the word Chico is in the Mexican-American community, is that Puerto Rican?
Look, I'm not here to answer the questions, okay?
Well, I'm just telling you, you got your own filing cabinet.
You're trying to turn every small and incidental mention of something that might even be tangential to the race issue. You want to turn that all into something that equates what Anthony Cumia did, and I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, you're barking up the wrong tree, all right?
I may be barking up the wrong tree, all right? But there's a squirrel up the tree that I'm barking up. Now, maybe that wasn't the tree that I was supposed to bark up. Maybe there was a tree that I should have barked up. And maybe I lifted my leg on 5 or 6 different trees this morning before I came to the tree that I love. I got me a tree, and I got a squirrel up that tree. And you're saying I'm barking up the wrong tree?
Yes, I'm saying you're barking, you know...
Professor Clayton, we're saying you're barking up the wrong tree. The tree you should be barking up has got Anthony Cumia up there staring down with that Italian Frankenstein kisser of his.
That's the tree I ought to be barking up.
Will you knock it off with the tree and the barking and everything?
That's a tree that... Can I say something, Phil? If you're talking about barking up the wrong tree, that tree I urinated on.
All right, you urinated on the tree that Anthony Cumia was up. Which tree are you barking up now?
I'm barking up the Phil Henry tree, because Phil Henry looks to me like he's got a bushy tail. Yeah!
Yeah!
Thank you, bud.
All right, Professor Clayton, it's been fantastic, and I really have to move along now.
No, you don't. You got another 5 minutes before your break. You just don't want to talk to me because I'm making too much sense. I'm making a whole lot. That's what I do. I'm Professor Emory Clayton. I make sense. I make sense out of what's jacked up. And let me say something else, Phil, before I go barking up another tree, because what I'm looking at this morning is not a forest, but I'm looking at a grove of trees.
All right, get out of here.
What are you doing? The guy was talking about the grove of trees.
I don't care. I don't want to listen to this guy going on about grove. You know, I'm barking up the wrong tree. The tree I barked up, I pissed on. But you're up a tree, Henry, and you've got a bushy tail.
Well, what about this Kumia? What are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do about it?
Damn it, sir. I mean, can't you get the guy reinstated?
Yeah, I mean, the guy did something wrong. There's no question. But the guy's got to get his show back because the Opie and Anthony show is a very long-standing show. You know?
Well, what do you know about it? Do you listen to it?
I'm familiar with the Opie and Anthony show because I was in communication with some of their fans and people that I know, guys that I served with, guys that I served in the NAM with, who are very upset that they're no longer on the air.
Well, I mean, it's I can't, you know, just from the standpoint of imagining what things are like for the show itself, yeah, it's jacked up. You're right. Opie's a great guy. I've never talked to Anthony. He might be the nicest guy in the world. I'm just telling you, I would say this to him if he were my friend, man. I'm telling you. I would say this to him if he were my friend. I'd say, dude, why? Why? You know, I know that you feel this way because you can't be friends with a guy.
Well, you know something, Phil? You've got a very good point there. We all know people who are racialist or racist. And...
What are you talking about, a racist?
Would you tell him not to talk? Because I'm about ready to tear his face off.
Yeah, well, ow. Yeah, ow.
I never even touched him.
What's wrong, bud?
It's like a nail or some ow attack on my butt.
Yeah, man, he put those attacks and dumped out.
Get that box of tacks out of here. You don't like getting shots, huh?
No.
Well, you get punched enough with a tack or some dirty nail or something, man, you gotta get a tetanus shot.
No, I'm not gonna get a tetanus shot.
Man, look at the baby crying and stuff.
You're not gonna get a tetanus shot if you don't sit on dirty nails and tacks and things. Get that out of here. That whole box, what are those doing here?
That's tacking stuff up.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, he's got a box of tacks because he's tacking things up. Jesus.
Phil, it's not that difficult.
All right. So anyway, I would say to this guy,
What would you say to a friend of yours that said, look at these apes and monkeys, they're getting out of control, and the whole thing is turning into a real zoo, it's a real monkey scene, and all because of these blacks, what would you say to him?
I'd say, you know, what I've said to friends of mine before. When I was a kid, I ran into it. As a young adult, I ran into it. The people I hang with now, they, and some of them are the very same guys, and they've changed over the years to normal thinking guys is what I call it, but that's just my description. But I would argue with them, and I would say, you know, you're stupid, you're crazy, that's not how it's at. And it would depend on the company I was in as to whether or not I ever won those arguments. Or, you know, I might have gotten shouted down by five or six other guys. But I would definitely say something, and that's a cat, I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, maybe Opie didn't say nothing.
What about this guy, his partner Opie, man? He probably should have said, you know what? You gotta cool that out, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you this much. They never got into this kind of stuff on the show because he would have had his ass canned, you know.
Now, Lev, can I ask a question? Marilyn and Sarah, you know I love Marilyn Hickey, and I don't mean to, but this Sarah, is that her daughter?
Can we stick to the point of what we're talking about, General? Do you mind?
What a dickhead. I just wanted to know why this chick's got a big ass.
She's got a big ass, General, because... Oh, wow.
Maybe it runs in the family.
Yes, maybe it runs.
Well, what are you all getting pissed at me? You know I'm a fan of the show, and all of a sudden I see some woman with an ass that's three axe handles across, for Christ's sake. Why?
Everybody's on edge and very emotional this morning. Why don't you go take the General?
Come on, General, let's go get a U-Woo.
I thought we were all out.
No, we got a few left.
Thank Christ.
A U-Woo.
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody's on edge, and everyone calm down and take it easy, you know. When a fellow professional gets his ass, you know, the thing that really pisses me off, there's a lot of stuff that pisses me off. There's all kinds of stuff this morning is pissing me off.
Well, you're upset with the whole Sirius XM technocracy and the powers that be there.
Well, yeah. See, to me, and this is what I said on the pre-show, I work for myself now, so I don't have to deal with these numbnuts anymore. Thank God Almighty. Thank free again, free at last. What is it that, what do you say, Robert?
Martin Luther King, free at last, thank God Almighty. They're free at last.
No, we're free at last.
Yeah, all right, that was a joke. We had written a song, my brother and I, about I think they were finally giving away those Super Soakers at a store that my mother and we used to shop. And said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, the Super Soaker, free at last. Now, my mother slapped me, you know.
Well, why did she slap you? You were just little boys.
Well, I was like 21, 22 at the time.
Oh, well, no wonder she slapped you.
Yeah, but I mean, God, it hurt and everything. I felt bad.
Yeah, his mom slapped her because he goes free at last, free.
I know what he said. He just told us the story.
God damn, these you-woos. Well, I'll tell you what, if I ever decide to market these and commercially exploit the beauty and the magnificence of the Yu-Woo, brother, stand aside.
Okay.
Oh, what's he laughing at?
Well, the way you put that was rather floral, General.
All right. Everybody seems to be a little bit more calm. So we're going to take a break. We'll get back to the, to the thing that we're talking about. I guess, is this going to be all Anthony Cumia all the time?
Well, I think we ought to talk a little bit more about it, yeah.
Well, Dr. Jim, we've just had whoever just hung up on us. We also have traffic coming up here with our good, close, personal friend, Bob Bakian. And then who did hang up on us? I don't know. But David G. Hall was also on the program this morning. Professor Clayton Emery. Or is it Emery Clayton?
I don't know. I think we called him Professor Clayton, and he was fine with that.
I think it's Clayton Emery.
No. His name is Emery Clayton, for Christ's sake. I ought to know that. I talk to the man at least once every 6 months. Actually, I don't talk to him much at all.
Yeah, it's Clayton Emery, but he did say it's interchangeables.
What do you mean it's interchangeables?
Well, I mean, that's what he said. So...
That's what he said. All right, Bob Bakian is up with the traffic here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So why don't we go and listen to see what he's got to say here. Bob, what's up?
I'm Phil right now downtown. We've got the traffic on the front of the Worcester. And we're out there along the 73 freeway, running eastbound along the Tortuga, pardon, and the Tortuga, and the Tortugas, the dry Tortugas. And so you got to be on the same thing. There's something overturned, it's overspilled. And I got spillage of my pass. Bob Bakian, traffic.
Robert Leonard here, and I'll tell you something. We take it all the way, man, all the way at Jackson Mobile. Jackson Mobile, the place to fill up your gas tank, make sure you have your car serviced properly, go and stop in, get yourself a cup of coffee, get yourself a bag of chips, get yourself a bag of pork rinds, go on back out, fill up the tank. Everything there, man, tires, you name it there, Jackson Mobile.
Yeah, and Jackson Mobile, they also give green stamps. You can't use them for anything, but they are a very nice collector item.
Yeah, Jackson Mobile with the green stamps. Great collector's items. They got other collector's items, things like those hats and bow ties that they used to wear. In fact, they do have a guy that comes out wearing a bow tie about 8 o'clock in the morning to fill the tank up. He come out with a bow tie, and he's got the hat, look like something out of a black and white TV show.
Yeah, it's pretty cool there. Jackson Mobile on a boulevard.
Jackson Mobile. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's right, we had Professor Emery Clayton was with us. And we do thank the professor for joining the program. What is this?
Well, I think this is, We Are Tunes, right?
Oh, yeah. Drop that na-na. Okay, great to see you guys this morning. The 4th of July, 2014. Always a great day. This is the first 4th of July that's occurred. That some bullshit, excuse my French, has occurred in the news that's kind of taken my eye off of the holiday. And I no doubt I haven't even read the news yet. Not any real news. I've just read very quick reports on Anthony Cumia. But there's no question that there has been a flurry of pieces, blogs, that just must, the people that authored them must think they are just geniuses. And they probably go along the lines of something like this. Why, today is the 4th of July, and free speech is under assault again.
Yeah, well, that's a load.
Well, it is very much. How do you get people to understand this? I don't know.
Oh, wait. Free speech is, you know, I don't agree with what the guy said, but free speech is under assault.
No, it's not. I just said 30 years ago, this guy, Earl Butz, when you are in the position of affecting a business, General, you know this. Even more so in your position.
Well, as a general in the United States military, I can't openly confront and disagree with my commander-in-chief, but we are entitled to have our opinions.
You're entitled to have your opinions. You're also going to be court-martialed for some of them if they are affecting the morale of the Army. Isn't that true?
There are times, yes.
All right, so depending upon what effect your words have, you can be civilly held liable and you can be criminally held liable. This is not anything new, for God's sake. This goes back to the very beginnings of this country. Guy goes out, says something, fire in a crowded theater. People storm out of that crowded theater, get trampled to death. The courts held free speech is absolutely sacrosanct. But when you use that speech to hurt people, now that's a criminal matter, and that's not what we're talking about here with Anthony Cumia.
Well, I'm very grateful that you made that distinction, because this man didn't say anything that is going to get anyone killed, but he did say something. What? Okay, you're saying what?
Just listen to me. What he said, what? He didn't get, is he in jail?
No, he's not in jail, but the man lost his job.
Then take it up with SiriusXM. SiriusXM could have said, no, we'll keep him employed. They didn't have to fire him. There's no law that says he's got to be fired.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, they could still have that guy working for him?
I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get? What's not to get?
SiriusXM is a private company.
Well, I understand that they're a private company, but they fired the... There's certain things you can't just let a guy keep his job, can you?
Well, that sounds nuts. Oh, shit. See, my throat's...
Your throat hasn't done that in a long time.
No, it hasn't. God damn it.
All right, General, get another you-woo.
I'll bet you the you... You know, you haven't had any you-woos in a long time.
Ah, fuck it.
Say it again, Phil. Slowly. You're saying...
I'm saying, very simply, that this guy said what he said. He's still a free man. He hasn't been put in handcuffs. But the company that he worked for, said, that's it, you're fired. What you said brings a disfavor on the company. And let me tell you something right now, Margaret, and Robert, you know this is true. There's no way that that guy goes into that Twitter rant and then comes out the other side without somebody in the black community, someone representative of people of color somewhere, just going nuts and holding SiriusXM accountable. Can you say, Reverend Al Sharpton?
Well, there's that. See, that guy, God damn it.
No. Wait just a minute. Wait, what do you mean, God damn it? This is the kind of thing you'd expect Reverend Sharpton to be involved in. I would expect that. I'd be disappointed if he wasn't.
Well, why do you say that? See, that guy's sticking his nose into stuff that doesn't, concern him.
Yes, it does concern him. Yes, it does, because this is a history of speech going back to the beginning stage of this country about black people, about slaves, about black... This guy, Cumia, who is... It's an amazing... What we're seeing here, folks, is the collision of mass media... And the power that broadcast media can give you, right, with the undereducated masses in this country. And what happens when the undereducated ram just smack dab, man. I mean, when they go face first, when they when like a Mack truck, they run smack into the power, electronic and otherwise, power of communication. And they get all lost and excited and jerk off over the fact they got all of this, freedom.
Would you not do the right hand jerk off thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Ow! Shut up.
You know what, Margaret? I think I will, because I'm on the radio.
Well, you're also on Phil TV, and people saw you go, jerk off.
You did do the jerk off, Phil.
All right. So what happens is you got a whole lot of stupid meeting a whole lot of high-speed communication delivery. And what happens? The stupid guy sits there like he's the Pope, like he's some kind of a spokesman for something. He ain't a spokesman for diddly squat, man. This cat may be speaking for other dumb guys, but these jackasses, if they ever actually got into a public forum and had to debate this, or let's be even more, let's put our cards on the table. If this guy was ever a lawyer in a court of law, either a civil action or a criminal action, he'd get his ass handed to him. If he had to really understand what the nuances of law are, what the nuances of history and the relations between the races, and yeah, let's throw in slavery, because you want to know something, Anthony, with all due respect, man, yeah, slavery's got a lot to do with it. Slavery affected both races, black and white, made white people into the most, it made white Americans into some of the most insufferable, stupid bastards the world has ever seen. Want to get right down? You want to talk about a casualty of slavery?
Now, wait a minute. You're calling white people... Why isn't that racist?
Yeah, you're right. It probably is. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a part and parcel of what happened. Black people, because of slavery, they reacted generationally to it. Well, white people, too. White people walk around. Some of the dumbest-ass whites I've ever seen in my life. Some dumb, stupid housewife who may be white, and she's holding forth about all kinds of stuff that she wouldn't know her ass from a hole in the ground about. Why? Because she feels she can talk to those black folks and tell them how it is. This is real, absolute, this is the absolute result of slavery and the result in Jim Crow. Not only did it damage black people, it's damaged whites. It's made us so dumb, a lot of us, that we stand around with a straight face and we start talking to black people about what it takes to make it. Some of these white motherfuckers, excuse my French, folks, I'm sorry, but some of them wouldn't know how to make it, man, if you gave them the cardboard cutout crayons and the whole paint-by-lines, you know.
I get it, Phil.
Thank you.
I can tell this stuff makes you angry.
It makes me extremely angry. There's nothing in this world that makes me angrier than the state of race relations in America. And not so much that it's the state of race relations, but just racism and the stupidity of my white brothers and sisters.
Hey.
Honest to God, I get so goddamn angry I could kill somebody. I mean it. I get so angry, but I also have to understand, you know, that it's a really slow process. It's just because what America is demanding of its citizens has never been demanded of any other citizen in the history of the world. And that's something that my liberal friends are too stupid to understand. See, that's something my liberal progressive friends are too dumb to understand. What America asks of its citizens, no other country's ever asked for. We want you to live together, respect religion, respect race, respect ethnicity. And that's all you got to do. And we got a pretty good country here, man. We can do this, that. We have religion. We have business is good, man. Everybody's making money. Yeah, baby. You know. And we're getting it slowly but surely. We get it. We go to war on behalf of it. We've done some great things this country has. But it's a very difficult thing. And Anthony Cumia, with all due respect, he represents the bottom end of that. I'm not calling the guy a Klansman. But he's damned, the sentiments that he has, were he poor with no way out, if this guy had no job, no opportunity, if he's getting beaten up every day by his father, if he's hanging around with crack-smoking friends, and he had nowhere to turn, that guy is a very likely candidate for the Klan. Somebody to come along and say, hey, man, I can tell you how things are going to be better. See all these jigaboos and all these spades? See all them smokeless men over there? They're the ones that are causing all these problems there, Anthony. Now, see, he bought into that, but he didn't join the Klan because he doesn't have to, because he's got a gig that pays his ass a lot of bread, man. He made his way up through all of that stuff to a position in life, I think, where it really, to be honest with you, I don't even understand why the guy's angry.
Well, that's just it. He has money. He travels in some very, I would say, celebrity-laden circles. So why is he angry? That is, I think it's because it's what I call, and I think Frank calls it, the Italian thing. I forget what it's called.
Talk about this thing of ours?
No, not that. It's Italian.
Not La Cosa Nostra.
No. Frank call. Can we talk to Frank?
Let's get Frank on the phone here, and we'll take a break. We'll have Frank Gray on. So he's going to talk about what?
He's going to talk about the Italian... The battalion, the big...
Oh, the Italian battalion in World War II?
There wasn't any Italian battalion.
You're thinking of the Rainbow Division, no. Get Frank on the phone.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get Frank Gray on the phone, and we'll talk with him about this, and it is our 4th of July show, and please stick around, folks, because we got a whole lot more. Well, we got another segment, I should say. We'll drop the podcast on the show today. I really suggest that you listen to our pre-show as well, because that mother, man, I tell you what, you know.
Pretty good, Miss Emily.
You know, I laid it down on that pre-show. Here is Volumes and a little thing we call, and they call as well, which is good, Erased.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I've been erased from the old. town.
What's this guy saying? He's getting erased? Yeah, you bet he gets erased. Yeah. I'd erase him.
Hold me up, I won't relate to the morning sun.
Bishop Brown from Bishop Brown Ministries. Won't you join us this Sunday for the Bishop Brown Ministerial. Take two. Hello, I'm Bishop Brown of the Bishop Brown Ministries. Won't you join us this Sunday for our Bishop Brown Take three. Hello, I'm Bishop Brown. Won't you join us this Sunday for our Bishop Brown Ministerial Devotee. Who wrote this shit? Excuse me. Take four. Hello, I'm Bishop Brown. Won't you join us this Sunday for our Sunday morning Bishop Brown Ministerial and Devotional? There, that's it. Let's do that one more time. Take five. Hello, I'm Bishop Brown. Won't you join us this Sunday for our Bishop Brown Ministerial and Devotional Ministry? I was going to say minestrone, is it? Take six. Hello, I'm Bishop Brown. Won't you join us this Sunday for our Bishop Brown Ministerial and Minestrone? I can't. Take eight. The Bishop Brown Ministries and Ministerial Devotionals. Sunday. So what are we doing now? We're putting commercials on the air that haven't even been recorded properly?
He had to get going, so we just said we'll just use it.
Do you ever tell these people that you're going to edit it?
No.
No, just tell them, okay, that's good enough, get out, go. Because he had to go, so we'll just take the tape and run it.
Well, you guys really got to be kidding. That poor slob he wasn't even done.
Yes, Bishop Brown needed to finish that and do it good. And he didn't.
I know he didn't do it good. And I told him, Bishop Brown, it doesn't sound good. And he said, and he dove into the back of his Cadillac and there was another guy driving. Well, should I say?
About what?
Well, it was a black guy.
So what, man?
I thought we're not supposed to say anything about it.
Bud, nobody said don't say anything about black people. We're talking about race relations, you jackass. If it was something good, why not say it?
Well, I said Bishop Brown. It's not, and he said, and he dove into the back seat of the Cadillac, and up he pops with a racing form, and the guy driving was a black guy, and I thought it was bad because he's a chauffeur.
I don't know, man. Okay, I don't know how that guy runs his business. What color is Bishop Brown? He's a white guy, right?
No, he's black.
Well, then it's too black. You just go get me some coffee, will you?
Done made.
Anyway, welcome back to the pro. No, he's black.
Bishop Brown, you didn't know he's African American.
No, I didn't know that. I haven't met the man, okay?
Well, then why did you think it was unusual for him to have a black guy driving him?
I said it sounded like he was a white guy with a black. Welcome back to the show. Bud was upset about it. We just have a few more minutes here on the program. We got another segment left. We have Frank Gray is going to join us, and Frank was going to talk to us about, God dang it, Margaret, I forgot.
Well, Frank will talk about the overall of race relations and what it represents, what it can represent. You know, I don't think there's anything unusual. It does. We were talking a little bit about the show business aspect of that, and I just got on the phone with him, and I said to him, Frank, I think it would be wonderful if you'd speak on this from the standpoint of a producer. So if you could bring my husband up right now.
All right, Frank Gray is joining us. Frank, are you there?
Good morning, Phil.
Where are you at?
I apologize. I'm on set right now. We're doing a television program. That's good right there. We're doing a television program, Phil, so I have I'm on set right now, and we're just testing out the crickets that we've got here. It's the Jack Odd Hockman story. Did you ever know anything about his life, Jack Odd Hockman?
I don't know who this individual was.
Well, he was a dancer and a singer, and it was quite an interesting case because he was pretending like he was a man. And
now she wasn't gay, was she?
No. He wasn't gay, but he was pretending to be a man to get a. To get an advantage in this world, okay?
Right. I've read about women who used to do that.
Right. Yeah. And they weren't necessarily lesbian, but they were just women. And so, anyway, this guy, this gal, I should say, Jack Hockman. What he did was he pretended that he was a man and would dance and sing in very manly ways. One of the songs that he sang was one called I'm Gonna Grab Some Broad Tonight, et cetera, et cetera. You know that, Margaret?
Yeah, she sang a song as Jack Hockman, which was this male persona that she had, about going out, getting drunk, grabbing just any woman off of a sidewalk, and forcing himself on her in the back seat of a car. And it's one of those songs that's very masculine and became very, very popular in its time.
Wait a minute. This is a song...
Is she going to go on about this? Because I don't have a lot of time. We're trying to get these crickets to do what I want them to do, you know?
I tell you what, let me ask you this before I go on about Jack Hockman and how she... What was her real name?
His real name was Jacqueline Hockman, something like that. His real name was Jacqueline Hockman, but the name that he used as he was pretending to be male was Jack Hockman.
What? No, all right, now that we've got that out of the way, what are you doing?
How many times do you want me to tell you?
Phil, he's on set for the Jack Hockman story.
I understand that, but why are we hearing crickets?
Oh, well, this is essentially the soundtrack to the Jack Hockman story. It was the life of this woman was dull as hell. It was dull as hell. It was like watching paint dry. And so my idea, along with our director, Benny Goon, and Benny said, why don't we just roll crickets through most of his singing numbers? I said, you're on. I said, you're a man. I like the way you think, and I like the cut of your jib. And she said, thank you.
All right, so the Jack Hockman story is so boring, you'll be rolling crickets through the...
I don't understand what's funny.
You don't understand what's funny.
Look, this is what I do for a living, Henry, okay? So you sitting there and going... That really pisses me off.
I'll tell you what's really funny to me, Jack. I mean, excuse me, Frank. Is the fact that you are doing a story...
Look at this. She just called me Jack. Are you calling me a woman? She just said I'm...
No, I'm not. I made a mistake. Frank, I'm sorry. You got a movie about a woman that passed as a man who is a nightclub singer, but the whole film is filled with crickets because the story is dull.
Yes. And that's what I call great journalism, great reporting. But the problem is I can't get the crickets to do what I want them to do. Now, I've got Carl Ertman, who is a cricket trainer. Come on over here, Carl.
Hi.
How are you? Carl is a cricket trainer from, where are you from?
I'm from Tempe, Arizona, originally. But then one day,
that's right, I don't want to hear. I can't hear the whole story. So Carl said to me that he's going to bring these crickets in. He brought them in by way of, they just arrived this morning at Union Station.
Really? Do they have much luggage?
Fuck you.
Well, what are you guys looking at?
Well, Phil.
Jesus, Phil, I mean, you know, he's talking about a movie he's making.
Are you telling me that when you heard this guy say he brought in Carl whatever...
Yeah, I didn't get that guy's name.
And he can't get the crickets to do what he wants them to do. I don't understand.
Phil, are you a filmmaker?
No, I am not.
All right, then you don't know the ins and the outs. Excuse me, don't say it, bud. That's Phil Fowl, right?
Yes, ma'am. I put that on Phil Fowl and the ins and outs.
Oh, if this Phil Fowl, then aren't I allowed to laugh at it?
No, it is prescribed from the program.
Whoa, wait a minute. Nobody told me this.
Oh, Phil, it was understood.
Well, the whole thing must have been understood by you. Once it goes filth file, you never go back.
Wait a minute, man.
You know, Phil, I hate it when you go, wait a minute, man. And you're laughing like you got the whole hip thing down, you know? Like you got the whole thing down.
Look, I'm going to ask this question. When did we say that once it goes filth file, you're not allowed to say it? We never said that. I said you can make these ridiculous notes, which is what they are. You can put it into a filing cabinet. You can stick it into a computer program. Do anything you want with it, Margaret. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, in other words, you were about to say you can stick it up your ass.
I didn't say that. No, you did.
When you tell someone you can do anything you want with it...
Margaret, I'm not trying to make you cry.
Well?
You're doing a great job. You really are. I think we should review it before we just prohibit these terms. Don't you think that's reasonable?
Well,
Margaret, that seems to make sense.
All right.
I didn't mean to make you. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
I worked very hard.
I know you've worked extremely hard, and Robert, you're doing a great job, too, and we'll talk about it. I think that's the best thing to do. I think you should sit down and not just do a unilateral...
All right, Phil, don't lick my ass up one side and down the next. I understand, yet.
Well, aren't you just gracious?
Well, you're going with Margaret? God damn, I can feel your tongue right on my...
All right.
Margaret, you almost said the A word.
Asshole?
No, you almost said what Phil said, all right. And...
Yeah, all right, so,
There he goes again.
Hey. So, let me get this straight. Frank made a... All right, you're right, I'm not a filmmaker. Frank made a movie, and he brought in crickets that have to be trained. What did he want them to do?
He wanted them to be more in unison. Crick, 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 cricket. Crick, crick, cricket. The unanimity of it, Phil. The uniformity of it. The unanimity and the uniformity. That's all that Frank wants. That's all that Frank's ever needed. And yet people continually... try to frustrate this. That's what I don't get. Can I ask a question? Who is this whore that's on the Word Network?
Well, Margaret, whoa!
Name's Paula White.
Paula, look at all that blonde hair and a brassiere strap. God.
That's not a bra... Isn't that the style?
Yeah, Ms. Gray, that's the style.
The style of what? This woman is on the Word Network, a Christian network, with the bra strap hanging out.
It's not a bra strap. Women wear the over-the-shoulder thing.
That's a brassiere strap, is it not?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What do you wear under that?
Wow.
Well, Henry, you don't know. If you lifted that woman's sweater up, which, you know, I wouldn't blame you if you did, wouldn't you...
Never mind. It's the style. It's all I know. I wouldn't hold that against her, if you'll pardon the expression.
Filth file that.
Yep. All right, I got that. Just bam.
Maybe I shouldn't have said, if you'll pardon the expression, you never filth file it.
No, Phil, I saw you coming before you were born. If you'll... you better filth file that.
Will you give me that? What are you doing? The filth file. Put it over here. Paula White is on the TV. She's got a bra strap. If she's got a bra strap, she's got a bra strap. Obviously, nobody's getting upset about it. She's got a big following. She's a Christian minister. She's talking all this smack. She's saying all this stuff. Her bra is hanging out. People think it's cool. What do you want from me?
Well, Phil, I think it's very weird that a woman comes... Never mind.
Yeah, that's about what we should say. Never mind. Getting back to Frank. All right, so he brought in the crickets. They arrived this morning at Union Station. That's why I laughed.
What, did you think they were getting off with suitcases?
Yes!
Well, let's get kind of sounded that way, Margaret.
You guys must have a mental midgetry. Yes, I said midgetry. There must be a mental midgetry that affects you so profoundly that your head will cave in from the ears. In other words, not from the top down, but from the...
Sideways.
Yes, sideways.
Well, that really hurts.
You know what? Goodbye.
Well, the show's ending anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say the show's ending anyway.
Yeah, you were going to say the show's ending anyway?
Yeah, I was going to say the show's ending anyway.
Okay. Thank you, Margaret. So we will keep you abreast. Listen, I want you to have a fantastic, a fantastical, a groovy, and a groovematic 4th of July, man. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to go out and have a good time, man. Have a couple of beers and everything like that.
Exactly. Go have a couple of beers. Have yourself a good time. Be safe, as always, with the fireworks. Don't act like a jackass. I know a lot of people will. Don't be that dumbass that cooked himself alive with the fireworks this year. Try and be someone different. Try and, you know, make your stand, make your statement in a different way. And don't be an Anthony Cumia. Try something different. Try getting along with people. Hey, there's one, huh?
Well, you tell the black guy that.
All right, well, just the black guy's going to have to take care of himself, okay? And if you're a black person, try getting along with a white person. The white guy's going to have to take care of himself, okay? But try getting along with people. Now, there's a real different one, huh? And let's see, what else can we say? Just be grateful you've got this country. Remember the people that they didn't have to. Some of them didn't particularly want to, but they went ahead and they went out and they fought the evils of fascism and militarism and Nazism and communism and all these isms. And
yeah, Bobby Jism. Ow!
I'll kill that.
Hey. So they went out and they did all that stuff, man. Why? So you and I could have a couple of beers and have a pretty good time here on our 4th of July celebration. I say we owe those people a lot. And the first thing that we don't owe them is being stupid. And the next thing we don't owe them is being hateful and ugly toward our fellow man. That just ain't gonna make it. All right, we'll see you guys on Monday, starting at 8:30 for the pre-show. We will continue to qualify people for our VIP, you know, VIP room there at the Phil Henry Show, July 30th, the World of Phil Henry. Truth is a bitch. Playing with Fire is the name of this from Chelsea Grin. Goodbye.
This is the 4th of July, and you're playing this where?
Well, come on, you know.
All right, man. All right. What do you want me to play? Born in the USA by Bruce?
Did you play that yesterday?
If we play Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, all right, well, we don't have to play that, but if we play Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, just understand that some of that has some rather negative comments about, well, never mind.
Yeah, I know, this song sings about killing the yellow man, and I know that Springsteen is a liberal, but it sounds like a good song, you know? Most people don't hear the lyrics anyway.
That's true. Goodbye.
Jesus.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated on the Sideshow Network.
Racism is played out. Played out, motherfuckers.